start us off in prayer.
God, we're so thankful again for the chance that we have to be your people because of Jesus. We're thankful, God, that you set up a plan for us so we could learn and we could be encouraged. Help us as we do that through this time. Please help us, God, to always be truth seekers and not to look at things that displease us. We thank you for each one that's here. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Okay, so today we're going to start a new study since we ended Ephesians 2 weeks ago. We're going to look at the Lord's second coming. Now, there's quite a bit of difference, there's a few different beliefs, and don't get too excited. I only have one slide this morning. So let's plug this in here so we can kind of see. Okay, so there's three major views of the Lord's second coming. Now, as we mention this, you might see, well, there's some things that are kind of missing, but within each of these major views, there's some offshoots of things. Okay, so just because, and definitely these are not all detailed as well, but there's just kind of a really basic graph to kind of start off here, so we can kind of see the three different views. The first view we see here is the premillennialism, where they'll have the death of Christ there at the beginning. And then there's a lot of detail that's not on this graph here that premillennialists have a view with. But just this kind of the basic, there's the tribulation period, which they'll think is 7 years. And we're going to go into some detail on some of premillennialism details as well. But the second coming of Christ or the rapture will come before the millennium, hence the term premillennium. Okay. Now, within premillennialism, you have your pre-tribulation rapture, you have your mid-tribulation rapture, and you have your post-tribulation rapture. Okay, so, and we'll get into some of that when we get into that, but just that's the basic view, is that the millennium is a literal 1,000 years that Christ reigns on earth, and then they have the last judgment. Post-millennialism, you have the death of Christ there in the yellow, then it has the church age, which it doesn't show on this graph, and the millennium is still in the future. Kind of seems a little bit, the name seems off, but their point is that the second coming and judgment is post the millennium, okay? And that's why they're called post-millennial, even though they believe that we are pre-millennial right now, okay? So that's where the premillennialist and the post-millennialist have in common. They both think that we are pre the millennium right now, okay? And then amillennialism, you see in the green there, there's the death of Christ. And it's a symbolic millennium. It's not a literal 1,000 years, okay? But they will agree with the post-millennial is that Christ's second coming is after the millennium, okay? After the symbolic 1,000 years is how they're going to view that, okay? Now, that's just going to be up there if you want to reference that. I'll have some more slides hopefully another time as we continue on there. But three different major views of the second coming of Christ, there's different offshoots of them. You know, and it determines how you interpret the rest of the Bible, or even specifically the revelation of Jesus Christ. Post-millennial are going to be a little bit more preterist view of revelation. And so premillennial are obviously going to be a premillennial view of revelation, or futuristic view, I guess, of revelation. Amillennial, they kind of can vary too. They might have some preterist view as amongst some of them. Some of them probably aren't have a different view of that. So just as there's different beliefs that kind of come within or come out of these major groups. Okay, now these again aren't detailed. It's just kind of a basic picture to kind of have our mindset so we can kind of know what we're dealing with a little bit here.
Yeah.
Yes, I think the post-millennial is a literal millennium, a literal 1,000. It's a 1,000 years. So the post-millennial is that it's right now we're in the church age, but it's progressively going to get better, and by the time the millennium comes, then that's when there's going to be a really strong turn, and there's going to be a majority of Christians on earth, basically, you know, is kind of the idea of it before Christ comes back. Yeah, yeah. And so the premillennial thinks 1,000 years, amillennial is a symbolic 1,000 years. It's just a long period of time. So the question that I have, is anybody having questions on that before? Any more questions?
Did you explain preterist
I didn't explain, I mean, I just mentioned preterist. And we're gonna go on and talk about premillennialist, preterist. Yeah. So the preterist, like the postmillennial will probably, they're going to have more of a preterist view of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's going to, how we view, what our view is on the second coming of the Lord impacts more than just the second coming of the Lord. It impacts a lot of things. It impacts our, principles that we interpret, you know, our relationship in the kingdom, Christ and the Jews' relationship, and so there's quite a few things that it can impact what our view is on this. And so it's more than just how some people say, well, you can kind of believe what you want to believe. It, you know, we're all still the same. And I'm not saying that people can't grow. I'm saying that there still is a way that God has it written in the Bible. Okay, but go ahead.
For the premillennial, so the tribulation is the time of all the destruction.
7 years, yeah.
And then they say Christ comes, and then there's a period of time, the millennium, is when people turn to him?
Yeah. Some of them do. The millennium is more dealing with the Jews and their belief. So a question that I wanted to ask before we kind of get into the premillennial, postmillennial, all-millennial, what am I going to teach or whatever on what my view is. Who here believes that Jesus was born from the Virgin Mary?
From the Virgin Mary?
Yeah. Who believes that Mary was a virgin when?
Do we raise our hands?
I mean, so you guys are Muslim then, right? Muslims actually believe that. So my point in saying that is that people might think, well, for example, just because someone says the second coming comes after the millennium doesn't mean they're post-millennial. It can mean they're all millennial. Okay? And just because someone thinks we're pre-millennium now doesn't mean they're premillennial. It could mean they're post-millennial. Okay? And so my point in that is that just because I say something, and it's easy for people that I've kind of seen in my short career, is that when you make a statement, Jesus was born by the Virgin Mary. Oh, you're Muslim then, and then no one's actually said that to me, but that could be said because they believe that too. It doesn't mean that they're Muslim just because they somehow had a right belief in some way. Okay, it doesn't mean that just because they got something right doesn't make me Muslim because I think that. Okay, so we need to understand as we go through this is that my view is that, and I think we all need, is we need to be Bible saysists. Okay, it can't, and that's my own, that's what I'll call myself. I'm probably going to lean a lot more amillennial, but doesn't mean I agree with everything the amillennialists are going to say. Okay, there's maybe some things that the postmillennials might say that I might agree with some. I don't know. It doesn't mean I'm postmillennial. Okay? I do agree with the premillennialists that Jesus is going to come back, but doesn't mean I'm a premillennialist. Okay? So we need to, as we go through that, we have to be Bible says this first. We can't be, well, if you hold this, you have to be this all the way through. It can't be that way. If we let the titles that people have given dictate what we believe, then we're not going to find the true answer either. So we need to see, well, what does the Bible actually say? So let's, with that then, let's go to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Sure. Go ahead, yeah.
You know, I've heard the term premillennialism and postmillennialism a lot. Mm-hmm. I've never heard the third one. Where does that kind of come from, originate from? Or?
Well, so means like we're in the millennium.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just not a term we use,
right,
obviously, as much.
Yeah.
When you attach an A to something prior to, put it as a prefix, it becomes without. It means none. It means null and void and moot.
Right.
So amillennialism means that they don't believe there is a thousand-year reign.
Not a literal thousand years, but they do believe it's symbolic, though. It's a symbolic reign. So Hebrews chapter 9. So, and as we're going to kind of go through this introduction and kind of go through a couple things, some of the basic teachings, I think it's that some of these basic things that we're going to look at is going to, it's going to tell us a lot of, it's going to be tools that we can use to decipher what is right and what is wrong as far as what millennial, or pre-post, whatever, or another one, if it's biblically backed or not. So in Hebrews 9, verse 27 and 28, if somebody wants to read that, please.
And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin, but to those who eagerly await him.
Okay. So notice a couple things there is the thing that we need to, all of us can agree on there is that when he appears a second time, it's for salvation without reference to sin. He's already appeared for salvation with reference to sin, but the salvation that he's appearing the second time for is, as it says in verse 28, to those who eagerly await him. Okay. So this, when we understand some of this stuff, the point is we need to be ready for Christ's second coming. Okay, we need to be the ones who are eagerly waiting for his second coming. Because, well, I would say the first coming is when he came as the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But that's a few more details. People are going to say it is when he was born, but that's really not a coming. You know, when he came on the day of Pentecost as the Holy Spirit, that was the first coming, I think. So let's turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Someone want to read verse 28, please. Okay, so again, kind of what Hebrews is saying there is that, or similar to what Hebrews is saying, I should say, is that those who eagerly await him, we are to abide in him so when he appears, we don't shrink back. So there's opposites there. There's that when he returns, there's those who eagerly await him and those who shrink back. Okay, and we want to be ready and prepared, for we want to be those who eagerly await him, not those who shrink back. And so the second coming of Christ, as we view that, is going to prepare us to help our walk, because as we're going to see, is that we don't know when that happens. So we're preparing our walk, preparing ourselves to be ready for it. Because it can't just be, well, I'll get right with that later. I'll fix that problem later. I got time to work on that. And so it's important for us as we're looking at some of these basic teaching and introduction here is that we need to be ready for it. He is coming for those who eagerly await him. And if we aren't a part of that, those who eagerly await him, we're going to shrink back in shame.
The phrase in 1 John chapter 2 is abide in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's part of being ready. So that you
right.
can shrink back.
Right. Yeah.
What does that really mean?
Well, abiding in him is, I mean, obviously it's being in Christ, but it's also, you're continually growing in that, in him. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. So in this parable, this is said twice, and it's said in a negative way a third time to a certain slave. But in verse 23, we'll just pick that verse of Matthew 25. If someone wants to read that, please.
And the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you handed 2 talents over to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And how far?
Is
that 23, please. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master."
Okay, so all of us want to hear the term, the phrase, "Well done, good and faithful slave." And then, so that's what we're preparing ourselves because of the, we know that the coming of Christ is, that's where all three of these views and any offshoots of them are going to agree, is that Christ is going to return. Christ is going to return sometime. And if we're not ready for Christ's return, then we're going to shrink away. We're not going to hear the "well done, good and faithful servant." And so the understanding that Christ is going to return is going to help us and urge us to prepare ourselves and make ourselves ready for his return, to eagerly await him so we don't shrink back. So then the question would be, so what's at stake then? We kind of mentioned a couple of these before. So depending on the view you have of the second coming, or the view we have of the second coming, is going to determine a few things. One would be basic principles of Bible interpretation. Okay, so if our view is off from what the Scripture says, we're not going to interpret the Bible correctly. Okay. Another thing that would be at stake is that the interpretation or understanding of much of the Old Testament, especially the prophets. See, if one of these beliefs or another one is focused on something that's different than what the Scripture says, that can affect, well, what did God write about in the Old Testament? We talked this morning in about Jesus saying that this stuff was contained in the Scripture, and the Scripture he was talking about was the Old Testament. So if our view is that, for example, the church is never found in the Old Testament, that's going to change our view of the Old Testament. That's going to change how we look at the Old Testament. That's why, a lot of people might not even read the Old Testament. They view it as, well, it's just the law. Well, no, there's things in there that talks about the church. There's things in there that talks about God's character and principles that the New Testament used. The New Testament saints, or the first century saints, I should say, because we're still New Testament saints, but the first century saints used the Scripture of the Old Testament so that they could prove the Word of God, so they could prove that to people that Jesus died, buried, and resurrected, and ascended. So
they didn't have the New Testament.
Because they didn't have the New Testament. So there's the depending on the view you have can change that, can change that, can. That's at stake. Another thing that is at stake is understanding the new covenant and the kingdom of God. See, if the kingdom of God is still something in the future, if the new covenant is still something in the future, then how we interpret the Bible, how we view the second coming, will affect that. If the kingdom of God and the new covenant is already in effect, then our view on this is going to affect that as well. Okay, and so it's important that we have the view, because that is also at stake. Because if we have a wrong view, and this isn't just with this topic either, it's with any topic. If you have a wrong view, pretty soon you might be off here, but you're going to be pretty far off down the road, or down the line, or however it is. It's not just staying in one spot. Okay, it's going to be off. The fourth thing would be at stake is the relationship of the Jews to Christ. So, if, let's just say, if premillennialism is correct, and the Jews are God's chosen people, then if we are saying that it's not, that they're not, then we're at stake of going against what God has chosen. But if the Jews aren't God's chosen people and the church is, then if we're premillennialists, then we're at risk of speaking against what God had planned as well. And so that's what when we're going through this study, that this is going to help, that our view on the second coming is going to affect how we view the relationship between the Jews and Christ. And the fifth one it'll affect the importance of Christ's church and God's plan. So if a premillennialist view is that the church is a mystery, the church is not prophesied about in the Old Testament. The church is something that always was Israel, and the church is something since the Jews didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, then God had a plan B to have the church. Okay? Now, if that is correct, then really the church is not as significant as Israel is. But if it's not correct, then if we believe that the church is not significant, then and the church actually is significant and important and written about in the Old Testament and God's plan entirely, then we're missing God's plan. We're not believing God's plan. So all of that is at stake of what is the Bible going to say, and that's why what does the Bible say about it is what we're going to look at. We're not going to go and you know, this is not going to be coming offline from whatever view I have of it. It's not going to be coming off someone other's interpretation of what it is. We want to look at what the Scripture says about it so we can get the correct view, because all this stuff is at stake, and probably other things as well. Anybody have any comments before we move on?
Please tell me tell us what it is that you're getting ready to refer to again. What is it? You said you want to see what the Scripture says about it.
Oh, the Lord's Second Coming. Sorry. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to move on to a couple basic teachings of Christ's second coming, or the second coming of Jesus. And so the first one is that Jesus is coming soon. Okay, let's turn to Revelation 25, or 22. You have a hard time finding Revelation 25. Revelation 22. Someone want to read verse 7 and 12 and 20? Please.
And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. And 12. Mm-hmm. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. And then what else? 20?
Verse 20.
And he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Okay. So when we're looking there, and we're going to look at a couple other passages as well, but an emphasis here at the end of the Revelation of Jesus Christ is that he is coming quickly. He is coming quickly, and the reward is in his hand. Okay. Now this is even that verse in itself in verse 12, can, if you have the wrong view on that, it can change the view of how you interpret that verse. I mean, the preterists have a completely different view than I have on that verse because of their view of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we won't get into that right now. But the point is that he is coming quickly. Okay, he is coming quickly. He emphasizes that a lot there, and even over in James chapter 5, he emphasizes that in chapter 5 of James. Verse 8, if someone wants to read that, please. Yes, please.
You too, be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand.
Okay, so James here, in reference to being patient and going through our work on earth here, he says that be patient and strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So when you say, you know, when Jesus said, when John was saying repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus says repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He emphasizes the same thing. So that is something that was right at the door. Okay, is what he's saying there. When you say something is at hand, death is at hand. Destruction is at hand. Whatever it is right there. That term is saying that is right as close. Now, where people get thrown off on, and that's where Peter writes about that as well in 2 Peter 3. People, and we'll get to that sometime here in the next couple weeks, but or probably next week. But he says that mockers come and say, "Well, where is God?" Where's he coming? He hasn't come. He says it's at hand. Where he hasn't come. God's view of quickly or soon is different than man's view of quickly or soon. Okay, and that's what we also got to understand too, is that 10 years isn't very quick for us. Okay, but to God and to eternity, 10 years is not very much at all. Okay, so we need to understand that when we're looking at these principles in the Bible of the Lord's second coming, we can't look at it from how we are going to view it as physical men and women. Okay, we have to view it how God is going to view it. God views at hand different than what we view at hand. Okay, but it still doesn't mean that it couldn't be tomorrow. I mean, that's the point. The emphasis in the New Testament is that Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming quickly. Jesus, the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's not far off. So that's why we get ready, because we want to eagerly await him and not shrink back when he comes. We want to hear the term, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. This is to the church at Philadelphia here. Someone want to read verse 11, please.
I'm coming quickly. Hold fast for you the way you have, so that no one will take you.
Okay. So Jesus encourages them to, he's saying, I'm coming quickly, so hold fast what you have. In other words, be faithful, be strong, strengthen yourselves. Abide in him, as John would say. Eagerly await him, as writer of Hebrews would say. Do work with your talent, as it would say in Matthew 25. Okay? So I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have so that no one can take your crown. Okay? I am coming. I'm coming quickly. So Jesus is coming soon is a basic principle of God, of the New Testament, or of the basic biblical principle concerning Jesus' second coming. Okay, Jesus is coming soon. Anybody have any comments on that before we move?
Maybe the theme of that is urgency. Get right. Ready because he's going to be coming.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that adds anything, right. but that's sure. What I've always thought about those passages of Scripture is urgency.
Right.
The sooner you can be ready, you know.
The better, yeah.
You're going to be able to abide in him. You're not going to shrink back.
Right.
See his words about.
Yeah, well, and
I don't know.
I think Paul quotes David, today is the day of salvation, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it's not a, something to scare people into getting right out of fear.
Yeah.
and not really actually getting right with God, but it's something to, hey, get right with God, because he is coming soon.
Yeah.
And knowing, when you understand who God is, you know, that God's gonna, if you're honest about it, God's going to give you time to get right with him too, you know. So it's not like a at the end of the sermon, Jesus is coming, you know, you better hurry up and make up your mind so you go and dive into it on not knowing what you're doing. That's not what you're saying. So it's important that he's coming soon, but God still isn't going to give time, but it's still urgent to get ready. Okay. Right.
We need to be prepared.
Right.
You know, we can't be lazy and slack off, because then he'll be here when we'll be ready.
Right. Right. Yeah, we don't know. No one knows when the thief comes, because we'd be ready if we knew when the thief was coming. So we don't know. Sure.
He kind of alluded to this too, like these places in Revelation where he says over and over, "I'm coming quickly." Mm-hmm. Does that always necessarily mean that he's saying I'm coming soon, or is
sure.
that more of when I do come, this is how I'm going to be coming?
Sure. So
because it's not going to be, you know, like we're not going to. Well, he's coming pretty soon now, so we better start kind of getting our act together. It's like when I come, it's going to be quick.
Right.
And
that
was just a thought that I had when we were reading through.
So that also determines your view. Determines how you view that as well. So the preterist is going to say, quickly means that he's coming right in the first century. That's their view of Revelation. It all happens in the first century. Okay. Premillennialist is going to say quickly means swiftly, or when it happens quickly. Okay. I think the Bible says both.
Wow.
I think the Bible says when he is coming soon, but when it happens, it's going to happen. It's not going to, because 1 Corinthians 15 says in the twinkling of an eye. So how fast does the night twinkle? You know, like it's a very, when it happens, it happens. There's not going to be time that people are going to be like, well, I guess I can see it coming. I'm gonna get right with God now, you know.
Right.
And so I think it's both in that. It's both soon, but it's also going to happen fast as well.
And Scripture speaks directly to
right.
that, too.
Right.
The idea that it's something is at hand, it's coming soon, it's
right.
near,
mm-hmm.
but then the idea of quickly, I mean, both those are
right.
within Scripture.
Right,
it's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think logistically, you know, what's the average lifespan of a person is 70
right.
years, you know. I mean, that's
right.
that's pretty quick from you know, compared to,
right.
compared to,
right.
You know, compared to forever, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not the time.
Yeah. Okay, so the next principle, basic principle of Christ's teaching, that when he comes, every eye will see him. Okay, let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Someone want to read verse 7, please.
Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen.
Okay. Pretty straightforward. What John is saying there is that every eye will see him. All the tribes of the earth will see him when he comes. Okay? Every eye is going to see him. It kind of, notice it says there he is coming with the clouds. And that takes us back even to Acts chapter 1, where when they see him going up to heaven, we can turn back there. When he ascends to heaven, the two angels are there with them, with the 11 apostles, because Judas wasn't there. Someone want to read Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11.
And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.
Okay, so this is where idea. So when they watched him go there, and they all of a sudden he was there and he wasn't. When he returns, he's not there and he is. Okay, so when he returns, every eye is going to see him. Okay, and this really in my book throws a huge wrench in the rapture idea. You know, because the rapture idea does not teach that every eye sees him. But John says every eye will see him. The angels here say that it's going to happen just as you see him walk, as you see him go into heaven, you're going to see him return. It's just in the same way. He's not going to come in the wilderness. He's not going to be on the mountain or the upper room or wherever. Every eye is going to see him when he comes. You're not going to have to be told that he is there when he returns.
So you people in the believe in the rapture then? That
yeah.
People are
going to
disappear. Is that during the tribulation?
Well, it depends. There's pre-tribulation premillennials. There's mid-tribulation premillennials. Pre-tribulation rapture premillennials. Mid-rapture tribulation premillennials. And then post-tribulation rapture premillennials. So it just depends. The majority of them think it's prior to the tribulation. Yes. She was wondering, do premillennialists think that the rapture happens before the tribulation or after the tribulation?
No.
So, and it varies. Majority of them think before. Some think mid, some think post.
You know, and I guess you've seen these sayings and bumper stickers and stuff, like if I'm driving this car and
if this car doesn't have a driver,
that means that nobody else knows except for the driver's car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, so that principle has really been, you know, I got a friend that always tells me about the rapture, you know, and that's what we're talking about.
Right. Right. Ken, yes, sir.
So when the Jews were in the wilderness and there was a pillar.
Well, I guess I never really looked into that. I never really tied that together. If I had to answer right now, I wouldn't say it was a foretelling. It was just he was a pillar of cloud to lead him by day and a pillar of fire by night. But I guess I couldn't say that for sure yet, but I would lean towards it. It's just that's how he planned it. He didn't have any tie to it, I would say. So let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Someone want to read 6 through 10, please.
Since it is right for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give rest to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, as the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, executing vengeance on those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our witness to you was believed.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. So, Paul writes there in 2 Thessalonians, when Christ is revealed, in verse 7, he's going to be revealed from heaven with mighty angels and flaming fire. And so when the angels in Acts 1 are telling the apostles, he's going to come back the same way you saw him go up. Okay, he went up into the clouds and disappeared. He's going to come out of the clouds and appear. Revelation 1 says when he comes in the clouds, every eye is going to see him. Every eye is going to see him when he returns. And when he returns, it says here that he's going to have mighty angels with him, dealing out retribution to those who do not obey God and do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. But then he will be glorified in verse 10 amongst the saints. So he's coming back, and we'll get into that next week too, coming back for judgment. But when he comes back, angels are coming with him too. When he comes in the clouds, when he returns, every eye will see him. He'll be just like the apostles when they saw him go up into heaven. He'll come back in that same way. Do you have any comments? Or?
I have a question.
Sure.
So the pre-trib believers believe that what you just read in the scriptures there, that applies to that all eyes will see him? Only the ones who are remaining who have not been raptured during the 70th week of
Daniel.
So how do we square that?
Sure. So just so I get your question right, you're saying that the pre-tribulation rapture people think that this is talking about when he comes.
Whoever's
then?
Left, whoever hasn't been raptured.
Her is left.
Those are the ones
right.
Referred to all.
Sure. So I guess I don't know. I guess I'm still kind of confused in the question there. Is that what they believe, or is that what you're?
I'm asking how do we square that if amillennialism is the truth?
I didn't say it was the truth. Bible says it is the truth. I'm not saying amillennialism is the truth.
Okay. So, all right. So the pre-trib rapture isn't true,
okay.
Which I believe in what you're.
Sure.
Strongly supporting.
Right.
Then how do people who believe in pre-trib square what you're teaching, the Bible teaches, in that verse?
How do they interpret that verse you're saying? Okay. I guess.
It's hard to say.
Yeah. If
I'm already gone in the pre-trib rapture,
mm-hmm.
That's not right.
So if I kind of think, so you're, are you asking, is it if if they hold that belief that the people, only the Christians, are raptured before the tribulation, how do they take the verse that every eye will see him? Is that what you're asking?
I'm as confused as a pet rabbit right now.
That's what I understood.
Right. So I guess I actually have never seen, I mean, they might say, them. I guess I don't know if they really use that verse. It's easier not to use it if it speaks against your doctrine. But I don't. If I have seen them use that verse, I can't recall. I guess what they said on it. But I know that the preterists think that that's depends on what type of preterist there is. They think that's only talking him coming on the Jews. But we'll get into that another time too. But so that's why it's important to understand, what does the Bible mean by when he says every eye will see him? Well, I guess when it says every eye will see him when he returns, I guess I'm going to take it for every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. So those who pierced him are already dead. So those who pierced him will still see him. Even the wicked will still see him when he comes, because he's coming for judgment, is what I take that he's saying by that verse. Every eye is going to see him.
Do you have plans in your study here to address how we are supposed to deal then, and how do we deal with 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15?
Oh, yeah.
In regards to what you're teaching?
Sure. Yes, definitely. We're going to go over those things too. Okay. Yep. So, anybody else have any comments, or before we close here, questions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a mixed group of denominations, but that most of them are premillennial.
Right. Mm-hmm. The most religious world is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think they just use whatever scriptures work to get.
Yeah.
The other ones, they don't even bring those up. Mm-hmm. Like this one here, that every eye will see him. It's just, this is how it's going to happen. And they even, I don't even know how they even can.
Sure.
Justify what they do, because they just have to. Of course, just like everything else, like with immersion and stuff, if they don't want to use that, they'll just skip over that.
So, and to be fair too, the post-millennials will do the same too, you know. And if all millennialism is wrong, which I'm not saying that they're completely wrong, I'm not saying they're completely right, but they can use the same. Anybody can use the same. Preterists do the same thing, you know.
We all can.
Yeah, all of us can use the same.
We sure can.
Right. If we use it out of context, we can make a doctrine out of it if we want to. And so that's what we have to guard against. It's not, okay, am I a premillennialist? Am I a postmillennialist? Am I an amillennialist? What does the Bible have to say? You know, because it might be that maybe they all have a little bit of something that's right. Maybe none of them have anything that's right. Maybe it's a completely different thing than what we've always heard. That's why we have to go back to what the Bible says. Because, I mean, another point, too, is that when Jesus came teaching, too, a lot of the religious world didn't agree with what he said. It was a lot of new teaching, if you will, you know. And so just because it's a teaching that hasn't been taught before and the Bible says it, we might want to look at it instead of cast it off because no one else believes it either. So, well, any other comments or something?
No.
Is that? Okay. Okay, we will close here today. We'll pick up next week in the Lord's Second Coming again.